of the way. Oh, the pathway is narrow, but He leads me on. I walk in His shadow. My fears are all gone. My spirit grows stronger each moment, each day. Lord Jesus,
profession tonight. It's what it is, Lord. Just one step at a time. Every day, just daily, daily. We don't necessarily know what the tomorrow holds exactly. But Lord, we have this promise that You're with us. And so, Lord, tonight is every day, Father, we put our full trust in You. We're so thankful, Lord God, that we can be gathered like this. We're so thankful, Lord, that Your grace is upon us. And so thankful, Lord, that You promise You'd be with us. And Lord, we have this assurance in our hearts and many, many, many examples of proving. Thank You, Lord, for the good word of Sister Mary, Father, and Sister Jamie's relative, Lord. You are the God, our healer. How thankful we are. And no matter how big and scary Satan likes to look sometimes, he's a bluff and a defeated foe tonight through Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, that's our confession, Lord, tonight. Lord, we without a doubt say that our eyes are on Thee tonight. We pray that You help us. Help us just enter in the right frame, being communion service also tonight, Lord. Father, we don't claim anything of ourselves, no ability, Father. But what we do claim is we serve a mighty God. We look to You now, Father. We commit everything in Your hands. This we do in the blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, musicians. I really appreciate it. Thank you for your ministry to us. It's a real gift to us all. And it helps us just to get right into the Spirit. You know, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And we're so thankful for that. And you're all standing. Bless your heart. You might as well just keep right on standing. And I'll be turning to the Word shortly. Amen. I certainly want to greet all those online. Bless you. Thank you for joining us tonight. We are thankful that regardless of what, it's the Lord Jesus that we look to. Amen for everything. We don't even want to walk outside our door. And I mean, it's all a surety. Trusting in our own abilities or our own strength. You know, we trust in the living God. And it's amazing what He can do. Amen. In spite of us. And I'm so thankful for that. If you would, you got your Bibles open. If you turn to chapter 17 of St. Matthew. And I'd like to read, we're just going to read 1 through 8 to begin with. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is a good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. And while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. Isn't that encouraging? Amen. That's what he says to us tonight. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. Amen. Let's just stop with a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, there's more we're going to read, but just for the sake of those that can't stand that long, we just want to pause. We just pray, Lord, that you would continue to break to us the bread of life. Grant it, Lord. Father, our eyes are on thee. We can't do one thing without you. We pray that you take full control of this service, Father. And you just speak through these unworthy lips. And may this word fall upon prepared soil. Grant it, O God. This we ask in the blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Let's stay in the book of Matthew. Let's drop down to the 14th verse. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him, saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. And Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. Amen. I'm going to walk through this a little bit, but isn't that an unusual reaction? Somebody's coming to the Lord and say, Lord, I've got a trouble here. I brought him to thy disciples and they couldn't do anything. Earlier he'd given them power to go forth to cast out devils, right? Now they come to him and they couldn't cast him out. They were perplexed. And Jesus, look at that response that he said. How long, O faithless, that means doubting, unbelieving, and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? Now think of what he just had. It doesn't say it in this account, but it does in Luke. He was just talking there was a great transformation, right? They were just talking to Moses and Elijah, discussing his decease and what he should accomplish at Jerusalem. He's walking down the mountainside, okay? And as he's walking down the mountainside, he was confronted by this multitude here, and there was this fuss, there was this stir. And it says that the scribes are questioning his disciples. And he goes up to them, he says, Why are you questioning my disciples, right? What's going on? And this man came to him and he said, I have my son. He's a lunatic, which means he is thrown into convulsions, right? We'd have a different term for it today. Help me out. It would be epilepsy. Thank you. And so he was in this position, and it was a great distress to the father, you can imagine. And they heard all this testimony, and they'd heard everything that was going on through Christ, through his ministers, through his body, if you would, through his disciples. And when he brought them to him, they couldn't do anything. And Jesus' response to them, "Oh, perverse," right? "Oh, faithless and perverse generation, how long will I be with you?" His time on earth was short, right? How long will I be with you? How long will I bear with you? How long will I suffer you? You know, the Lord, if you see where the Lord is coming from, and I want to get into it tonight, and if you'll walk with me, you'll see that in him encompasses everything that we have need of. And I just want to build on that. There was no reason at all for them to doubt. None whatsoever. Later on, when they came to him, it says, "Why is it that we couldn't cast him out?" And he said, "If you have faith, the grain of a mustard seed, and say unto this mountain, be thou moved, and doubt not in your heart, but be cast in the sea, it shall be done unto you." If you say, right? He says, "Nonetheless, this kind cometh out, but by prayer and fasting." So it isn't anything that's assumed. There's a preparation work. There's a groundwork. If we're going to work the work of Christ, and I believe that he's working on every one of us, preparing our soil and helping us just to walk in faith, helping us to walk into his word, knowing that everything that he said about the New Testament pertains to the bride of Jesus Christ, because she'll be the fulfillment of that New Testament. Amen? And I know we're getting ready for communion tonight. And really, there is so much more to communion than just looking at the elements, the bread and the wine, which we're well aware. He says, "Do this in remembrance of me. Behold my body," right? Which represents his word. "Behold my blood," which is his covenant to us, which is shed forth for us. Amen. But there's more than that. It's a oneness. It is. It's a union with us. It's a union because that's a marriage covenant. It's a marriage covenant with us. We're becoming one with Christ. Okay? And in that oneness, listen, we're also one with one another. And that's why communion is crucial every time, right? It's a checkup time. It's a time to see that we get ourselves tuned up, not only with the Lord, but with one another. Remember his prayer. He says, "Father, I pray that they be one as we are." So that is also a very important part, fulfillment of us stepping into our new bodies. It's our oneness, the oneness of the body of Jesus Christ, our oneness one with another. It's not at all political, and I soil it when I say that word, because you see, this oneness happens only when you become one with him. Only as I become one with him. As you become one with him, then we become one with one another. It is an invisible union of the heavenly bridegroom with the earthly bride. Amen? Amen. And he is the Word, and she becomes the Word as she eats the Word. But before you can become the Word, you've got to have that predestinated receiver set down here. And that predestinated receiver set, it hears the Word of God. And I don't care how deep the pit is. I don't care how thick, how deep the muck is of sin, how badly they're twisted and distorted. God's grace can reach down into that seed, can quicken it to come and make a new creature in Christ Jesus. And I assure you that person, I assure you anybody who's saved from that wretched condition, anybody else that's saved from the depths and the depravity of sin, I'm speaking to somebody tonight, anybody that is saved from there, they don't look at all to their own worth. They recognize that that's a non-starter. There's no good in them at all. And that's Every one of us, there's not one good thing in us. The only good thing that there is at all, that's in Jesus Christ. And that's where our representation is. Amen? Amen. Amen. Howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. A lot of times, very much time, the only thing at all that's holding us back is our unbelief. It's our unbelief. It's where we are walking in. The Bible says to walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If I walk in the flesh, I am not walking in the Spirit. I'm not walking by faith. You can't walk by faith if you're walking in the flesh. That's an imperative. We must always walk in the Spirit. Always. Why? He's in control of all things. He is. And if you walk in the Spirit, you can discern His hand. You can see. You can see, you can sense the Lord. And even if you can't, your faith is not shaken. Why is that? Because you have an unshakable faith in the Lord. And that's where He's bringing us into that point, that position. God does not want in us, the Lord doesn't want us to be in unbelief anymore. The title of what I'm talking about tonight is, if I can give it a title, it is Drawing from the Fountain, Pushing Out Unbelief. Okay? Right? So as you draw in from Him, it automatically pushes out unbelief. They two cannot reside together. One has got to give way to the other. Okay? So as we draw from El Shaddai, then we're drawing life. Amen? And He's pushing out that unbelief. All those. And what is it? It's all those thoughts that are contrary to His Word. Right? Amen? And that is how you defeat the devil, by the Word of God. And the devil cannot dwell in these bodies if the light is there. He can only dwell where there's darkness. Okay? Lord bless her. Amen. 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 You can pick up where I left off. It says, let me just drop this in here. He says, O faithful and perverse generation, okay, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? And I sometimes wonder if that's the question too for us tonight. I believe the Lord is long-suffering. I believe with all my heart He's long-suffering. Question for all of us, ask ourselves, how long are we going to hang on to unbelief? We got no reason in the world to doubt. We have just heard too much, right? We have seen too much, amen? And could we see more? Absolutely. And we will, but Lord help us, just raise up our faith, amen? That whatever we ask in faith, we shall receive. That's His promise. No unbelief. And what we claim, you see, our faith, our growth depends on it. Did you know that? Amen? By confession. That grows into faith, right? Romans 10:10, for the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans 10:11, for Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him should not be ashamed. You have faith. You're not ashamed. So you're stepping forth. You got confidence. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So it's your mouth. Amen. Luke 21:14 says, settle it therefore in your hearts. Have faith, be at peace, not to meditate of what you shall answer, for I'll give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And you shall be betrayed both of parents and brethren and kinsfolks and friends, and some of you shall cause you to put to death, and you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but there shall not be an hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls. Amen. Amen. Patience, faith, you're standing. And as you're standing, like the Bible says, having done all, to stand, right? In your patience possess ye your souls, you have faith. You've done everything that the Lord asked. You've met every requirement that He said you stand. Then watch the Lord work. And that's that confidence then that we have. And we need to always testify by our mouths. Brother Branham said this statement one time. He says, it's not enough for you to know that the devil is a liar. Okay? You have to tell him he's a liar. You need to vocalize it. That boy's got ears. Use them, right? You know, make use of them. Right? Amen. So now, Jesus said this, going back, He said, bring him hither to me, verse 18, and Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart. He says, why did we not cast him out? It's because of your unbelief. Amen. Excuse me one second here. Yeah. Okay. All right. Many times, there are conditions. Okay, we know that. We have to come to the Lord according to the Word of God. Amen. And as we meet everything that the Word calls for, Brother Branham says God is obligated, amen, to His own Word. Answer that. Amen? Amen. Amen. And the Lord doesn't want us to be in unbelief anymore. If anyone knows the characteristic of Christ, walk with me, would you? His limitless power. He's the Creator. His great love, vaster than the ocean. And His mind, which is His word and will. The bride of Jesus Christ. He has spoken His love secrets to her, Brother Branham said. Brother Nate shared this one quote with us. He says, they in the bride will be so much like Him that they will even be in His very image. This is in order to be united with Him. They will be one. They will be the very manifestation of the Word of the living God. Denominations cannot produce this. At all. It's the wrong seed. Why? You can't mix anything else with the Word of God. Unadulterated, pure Word of God. Amen? It's the only thing that'll bring forth correctly. Amen. So think there. I think Christ is the inexhaustible fountain of life. And when we are planted in Him, all we do is drink from that fountain of life. Now, this is a quote that we read. We're all listening together. Brother Branham read this during his, he was in Louisiana. He preached this. First, sir, is what I would, this is in sir, we would see Jesus. Listen to this. All we do is drink from that fountain of life and push out everything that we have need of in this journey. Isn't that rich? All the things that we have need of is in Him. And we are planted in Him and draw from Him. And He is that inexhaustible fountain of life. Amen. That's what He is tonight to all of us. He is that inexhaustible fountain of life. So in Christ, honest and assuredly, if you're in Christ, your frame is right. You're walking in Him. You're walking in His perfect light. Nothing can come to harm. It doesn't matter if there's a bomb that goes off. It doesn't matter. You're perfectly in Him. You're perfectly protected in Christ. Will you die? You can't. You have eternal life. This body might be vaporized, but you'll just step right off into His presence. Keep right on walking. See, there's no fear at all in Jesus Christ at all. You know, there are 7 redemptive names of the Lord. You know all of this, but there are some here tonight who have never heard that before. Every fear that man has is addressed by one of these names, right? Amen. Jehovah Rea, right? Our Shepherd. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our Healer. Jehovah Nisi, the Lord our Banner. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Bible says, when Satan comes in like a flood, the Lord raises a standard, right? See, He's the one that fights. He's the great captain of our faith. He goes before us. Amen. Jehovah Shalom. He is our peace. Some of you may desire more peace tonight. He is there for you to give you that peace. Draw from Him. Whatever He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. He is your peace, which is Shammah. He is with us. He is ever present. Ezekiel 48:35 is where that comes from. Jehovah Jireh, we know where that comes from. The Lord our provider. Whatever you have need of tonight, whatever it is, whether it's natural, whether it's food, whether it's healing, whether it's whatever you have need of, whether it's a spiritual touch, He is Jehovah Jireh. He is the provider, right? He's Jehovah Savior, the one who has saved us. Aren't you glad? We've already mentioned Jehovah Rapha, our healer. Our healer, right? I am the Lord that healeth all of thy diseases. So in everything that we have need of is found in Christ tonight. Amen? Let's talk some more of His attributes. Think of our Lord. Think of what it was. God in flesh, dwelling amongst men. And He sits tonight here, just hovering over us tonight, just wanting to realize everything that He is. And as we think of Him tonight, we think of what He was back then. The same thing that He was then, He is tonight. Think about that. What did He do? He walked on the water, didn't He? That's an amazing thing. To master the elements. Master the elements. He turned water into wine. Another proof. Master the elements. He multiplied the loaves and the fishes. He's a creator. He healed. He's a healer. Now look at that, Rapha. Jehovah Rapha. He healed the leopard, opened the eyes of the blind, healed the halt, the sick, the crippled, opened the ears of the deaf, made the dumb speak, cast out devils. Amen. He is our healer. He silences His critics. No man spake like this man. Remember that? No man spake like this man. It didn't matter who came up before Him. They couldn't withstand His wisdom. What was it? It was God in flesh. How could they? They didn't have a chance. He raised the dead. He was eternal life. Death has no dominion over Him whatsoever. Whatsoever. He transformed Himself into a brilliance of light. Again, showing that what He's pulling from does not belong in this world. And see, that's the thing that He was talking about. He went everywhere preaching the kingdom. Went everywhere and He's showing evidence of the kingdom. And then He said to everyone that was here, He says, listen, the kingdom of God comes without observation. It is within you. Amen? The kingdom of God will come one day, right? But you are His representative right now as members of His kingdom. And it is inside of you. And the degree that you can release and allow that light, that truth of God's Word to come and to transform you and to really open up your eyes to where you're walking into His light, right, is the degree that people around you are going to say, wow, What is it about that person? There's something incredibly different about that. What is it about them? You see, and this is where the Lord wants every one of us to walk in, to walk in that faith. Amen. To walk as He would have us walk, to have that reality. It isn't just something fictitious or made up. It is a reality. Amen. It is a truth. Amen. His voice threw back a group of men when He said, I am. Do you remember that? Are you Christ? I am. Oh, the Bible says they fell back. Almighty God. Showing that they didn't take His life. He willingly gave it up. He says, I lay my life down. He was master over every circumstance. Everything that He was in. There wasn't anything that He didn't have mastery over. And no matter what you find your circumstance in too, your faith will master that circumstance. We just need to enter in. Please, God help us, Lord. Raise up our faith to cast out every doubt. Amen. Amen. Here's one that you may have missed. Honestly, I didn't see it until about a year or so ago, but it's in the Bible. You want to turn to it? John 6:19. This is good. John 6:19. So when they had rowed about 5 and 20 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But they said unto him, But He said unto them, It is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received Him up into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land wherein they went. Isn't that something? They only had rowed 25 or 30 furlongs. Does anybody know how big the Sea of Galilee is? It is 64 furlongs wide. And I looked at the map. I saw where it was. Well, if they come from here and they go to there, that's even longer than the width. So just about no matter how you draw that string, they were in the middle of the lake somewhere, right? And as soon as Jesus got into the boat, now you can't, your unbelief will say, well, he had troubles getting into the boat. It just took him a long. You know that's nonsense, right? You know that that's nonsense. But that's what the devil tries to do with our heads sometime. He got into the boat and immediately he was on the shore. He can travel as a thought. Think about that. Men, boat and all. Right? Yeah, amen. Our God is a mighty God. He triumphed over death, hell, and the grave. He has never lost one battle. And He never will. Amen? So when Jesus said this in Matthew 6:25, Therefore I say unto you, take no thought of your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat and body than raiment? Take no thought. He's the Lord, the Creator, Jehovah Jireh. He provides, right? Matthew 6:26, Behold the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? I mean, He's reaching down. You know, how low do you identify? Here are these insignificant birds right there. Okay, well, the Lord doesn't even overlook those. How much more are you than them? See? Amen? Matthew 6:28, And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed as one of these. Therefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Are you at least above the grass of the field? I mean, that's really what Jesus is saying. You are so much more beyond that, of course. You are made in His image. And what has the devil been trying to do all along? He's trying to mar the image. Adam was made as the image of God. You read about it there in Matthew. He's the Son of God, or in Luke. Adam, the Son of God. You can follow that lineage from Jesus all the way up. Adam, the Son of God. We are made in His image. And Satan all along had been trying to mar that image. And that's what he's trying to do. Tried to do that too by the insertion of the serpent seed into the human race to defile it, right? And he's still trying to defile the bloodline. Even today he's trying to defile the bloodline. Okay? But he can't. The Lord is watching over it by God's grace. Amen. O ye of little faith, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Here's our challenge, saints. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That's doing the right thing, listening and obeying that still small voice, pursuing things that are eternal. Yeah, amen. And all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. How hard it is for rich men to enter into the kingdom. That verse started to open up to me, Brother Don. How hard it is for men to enter into the kingdom. Why is that? Because their eyes are trapped, stuck in the natural. It's like playing a virtual reality game and you've got all these goodies here and they keep piling up and so forth and so on. And it keeps you, it entices the young people to keep playing these things, right? Even though there is no virtue in them, you know. You get all kinds of good, woo, 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 woo. You get up to level number 27 or whatever it is. And to what end and what purpose? When you walk away from that thing, it still looks like a computer, right? Or a phone or whatever it is. You think, oh, I'm rich. Are you? John Rockefeller, he had lots and lots of money. Oh boy, he's rich. Oh my, you know. And his executor was asked, he said, how much did he leave? Which the executor wisely said, all of it. Right? We brought nothing into this world, the Bible tells us clearly, and it is of a truth. We shall surely bring nothing out of it, right? Jesus said, don't be concerned for this dimension here, this world, okay? There's another realm that you are called to. Occupy yourself with that realm. Seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. If you try to preserve your life here, Jesus warned us again, you shall lose it. But if you lose it, in other words, don't be so concerned about it, but put your eyes on me. You're going to find it. You're going to find exactly what it is that you were called to. How I made you. I made you for a purpose. I called you for a purpose. You have a fulfillment that I want you. No one else can do what you did. I made you specifically for a specific job. You've been called specifically. And I need you to do it. Amen. And you will do it by God's grace. Are you hungry for that? Are you desirous? Lord, I want to fulfill your will. In me. Amen. Lord, have your way. It's my sincere cry. Oh, I cry. Lord, have your way. Amen. The Lord is brooding with His Spirit over us. The different things that He's sharing with us. His wind is just coming and He's presenting to us the Word and evidence upon evidence and fact upon fact. And then His Spirit comes along and He quickens that Word to open up our eyes to the reality of that. And we just need to catch the wind, right? The wind of faith. And just have that rise up. And what we have need of is in the air already, right? We just need to rise up to it. And it's a beautiful song, Brother Nate. Thank you for bringing that to us. But it's the truth. Amen. We need our faith to rise up. It's a reality to that. Amen. Brother Branham told, and I'll close it up here, get ready to change the order before we change the order of the service. Brother Branham, in preaching about stirring the nest. He is the eagle stirreth the nest. He talks a lot of things about the characteristic of the eagle, and it's really beautiful. And sometimes we hear a story over and over again, and sometimes it loses its significance. But I'm going to try to bring out just a few things maybe that would be an encouragement. These are all things that Brother Branham brought out about that mother eagle. And how that the mother eagle is equipped to take care of her little ones and to see their experiences right. So there comes a time that there is a stirring of the nest. What as those essentials that are in that baby eagle, or that maturing eagle, I should say, not a baby anymore, okay? It's got to be tested. And they've got to learn to exercise what their God-given talents are, or their God-given gifts are. And I'm not talking about natural talents, as I am talking about spiritual benevolence of the Lord, amen, that we can walk and be carried right up into His presence, that He gives us an understanding that we overcome, not just we draw things from that spiritual dimension and it overtakes this dimension here that we are in, just like Jesus did. Just like Jesus did. Amen? He talks about the eagle's wings, how strong it is. And he makes a point to talk about the feathers. You know, how he said you can't even hardly pull a feather out with a pair of pliers. It's in there really good. But that's the point. It's in there really, really good. Now the point is when the eaglets come and he wants to teach she wants to teach them to fly, how it is that they crawl up on to her wings and they hook their little beaks and hang on to a feather. How hard does that feather got to be in there, right? You know, the eaglets don't even question if that feather is going to give way. And he said that types the word of God to the believer. You have faith that the word of God is going to hold forth regardless. And it carries them up high into the heavenlies, right? And that at appointed time she spills them over to teach them how to fly. Right? And sometimes it is with us too. The Lord wants us to go higher, not to stay at a certain point in the Word, but to go further, go further, go further. The Bible says that strong meat belongs to those who by their senses have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil, right? Through use, right? So they exercise their strength. Isn't that the devil? That is just the devil. Satan, you are a liar. We rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, if you're born a child of God, you can absolutely set your anchor right on any divine promise and hold it. Absolutely, you know. On Christ, a solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Amen. Nothing will move you. On this, I'll build my church, said Jesus, and the gates of hell can't prevail against it. Nothing will never move it. It's the unmovable rock of God's eternal word right in the hours of death. When all hope is gone, a born child of God can take a stand on God's eternal word and look yonder beyond these tears and say to look to Him that said, I am the resurrection and life. Even death itself will never shake them. They're eagles. They're heaven-born birds. Their nature in them is designed to believe that and to trust it. Your nature is in you, born to believe God's word and to hold to it. Amen. And I'm so glad for that. So there's going to come a time where the Lord is going to stir our nest. Okay? We're ordained to have our nest stirred. And I hope that doesn't make you feel bad. No, it only means that you're set to be brought up into the heavenlies. That's all that means. So you put your faith in the Lord regardless of what. Amen? Amen. There's more here, but for the sake of time, I'd like to just have a couple of scriptures. James 1:17 says this: every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, nor shadow of turning. See, it's just a purity, just a constancy that comes from the Lord. You see that? So, in 2 Corinthians 1:20, this is one that had been read behind this pulpit more than once, not by me, by others. Brother Don, Brother Derek mentioned it. Maybe Brother Jesse. Amen. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God. Every promise. Amen. And that's, you know, same thing that Brother Derek brought when he was here. Every promise is available to us. And we need, as eagles, to set our wings and catch that wind. And every promise is yea and amen. Amen. I wonder if the musicians could come as we prepare to change the order of the service. Amen. And let's go ahead and turn to page 6. Set your wings to the winds of faith in the bottom right-hand corner.
There are two roads you may take, one by sight, one by faith. Take the word of God, or what you say, what you believe, is what will be. So set your ways to the winds of faith. You can fly in a higher place. Struggle, it's by grace. Set your wings to the winds of faith. What's your needs? What's your cry? What's your mountain that's much too high? Speak the word of God, and by and by it will move, you will fly. So set your ways with the winds of
already in the sky. So the winds of faith, you can fly in a higher place. Do not struggle, it's by grace. Set your wings on the wings of faith. Amen.
Thanks. Servers, would you come and get ready? You know, brothers and sisters, we would be earthbound creatures unless there was bloodshed for us, for him to make a way to come into us, to give us wings and say, you don't belong down here. You do not belong earthbound. We have so much to thank him for, so much to praise him for. So tonight when we come to partake of the elements, please come with thanksgiving in your hearts, because this is to remember him, specifically what he did to get to you, specifically the price that he paid, his suffering so that you could be healed, his love so that you could be lifted up with him. So let's just keep these things in our minds tonight. For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Can you imagine uttering those words? Knowing what is before, you know? Hey. Really, he said this to his disciples, and he knew his body would be broken. Oh, wait, I don't have the anesthetist. It hasn't taken place yet. No, no. He didn't have anything. He didn't have any pain reliever. He did it for us. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Oh, please, tonight, let us remember him. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we're judged, we're chastened of the Lord, and we should not be condemned with the world. And that is grace, and that is love to us. Jesus, would you ask a blessing on the bread?